Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. South Dakota's ballot question system empowers voters, but the influx of out-of-state money and contentious issues on the ballot has caused controversy as well. A summer task force is set to evaluate the process. Augustana University Professor Emily Wanless chairs the South Dakota Legislature's Initiative Referendum and Constitutional Amendment Task Force. She joins us now from Sioux Falls with more. Emily Wanless, welcome back to In the Moment.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Let's go over the beginning, sort of the genesis of this task force. When did it come out of the state legislature?
It was something that occurred about February, I believe, in the legislature. It was originally a bit narrower group of people, and then it was amended to have a broader representation of different interested parties around the state, so not just state legislators are serving on the the task force. There are people representing various backgrounds, such as business and agriculture, and then there are people like myself who are brought on because of what I study and the nonpartisan nature of my political affiliation.
Was there a problem that needs to be solved? Can you lay out sort of the reason for the task force?
Well, I think that with 2016, we saw a significant number of measures being placed on the ballot. We had 10, and that is expensive. And it is indicative of a couple problems. One is the more ballot measures you see, that oftentimes a result of maybe not being satisfied with the representation that voters are seeing from the state legislature. And so obviously it's indicating that voters aren't happy. But then also with those 10, we saw quite a bit of money come from outside the state, a bit of organized interest from outside the state. And so I think that the legislature just wanted to take a look and see kind of how our laws stack up and what kind of outcomes do they produce.
Money from outside the state, is that necessarily a problem?
Well, probably ask, or depends on who you ask. I did some quick calculations just from the disclosed money, and around $11.5 million was spent on these 10 ballot measures. And the itemized ones, South Dakota contributions were about $1.7 million. So that's about $9.5 million coming from outside the state. And I think that if the whole purpose of a ballot measure is to promote direct democracy and allow a voice for South Dakotans, then that becomes a little bit muddied when the amount that you speak and we use free speech as campaign contributions becomes a little bit muddied when outside forces are able to speak a little bit louder.
Hmm. Give me an idea of the process here. How often will you meet, and who gets to be part of, providing input? Does the public have input at some point?
I think all of those things are still to be determined. We just set our first meeting for June 20th, and we're currently working on an agenda for that meeting. One of the things that will come out of that meeting, I believe, will be determining how many other meetings that we'll have. The meetings are all public. We're going to try and have them in various locations. I think the first one will be in Pierre. I'm certainly open to the idea of having the public have an opportunity to speak. I already have heard from a number of people who are very concerned about this issue and the outcomes that the task force comes up with. And so it seems appropriate to allow people to have a voice on their ability to have a voice in lawmaking. I don't know yet quite how much time or in what capacity that will be yet.
Emily, from what you know right now, is our process in South Dakota of ballot questions, initiated measures, et cetera, this direct democracy, as you call it. Is that unusual throughout the nation? Are we on par with other states and what they're doing, or is it too soon to answer that question?
Oh, no. So 24 states currently have some sort of direct democracy through the ability to amend the Constitution or add statutory provisions. South Dakota, political scientists, we often like to create things into indexes, and so considering all of the qualification requirements that the various states have, things like how many signatures are required, geographic distribution of those signatures, how long you have to circulate petitions, things like that, we can create an index of difficulty. And South Dakota actually, on a scale of 0 to 6, 0 being not difficult to get on the ballot and 6 being very difficult, South Dakota is a 2, with only about 4 states that have an easier time getting ballot measures. So comparatively speaking, South Dakota currently has laws that are rather flexible when it comes to getting ballot measures on the ballot.
So as a nonpartisan political scientist, do you look at this issue that, can the conversation be nonpartisan, or is it a partisan conversation because of the sort of political weight of different parties in the state?
I think ideally I would like it to be as nonpartisan in terms of motivation as possible. I think if we were able to come out of this task force feeling as though the laws that we recommend or any policy recommendations that we suggest, if those are motivated by what's in the best interest of the process and the state, then I think that the task force will be successful. My fear is that it will become a partisan issue. And when I look at the ballot measures that have been successful in South Dakota and ones that have failed, it isn't clear cut across, it's not one party is more successful than another. It does seem to have, varying success for interested parties. And so I don't think that this is clearly a Republican versus Democrat issue. And I hope that we can continue to discuss it, in a more nonpartisan basis. And I think that when I spoke with Speaker Mickelson, he seemed very much interested in securing the legitimacy of the task force by having it as balanced, bipartisan as possible, including having it chaired by a non-legislator and a non-two-party representative.
Business and agricultural input, sort of, you mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, expanding the task force to include more than lawmakers. Give me an idea how that came about and what the impact of that might be.
I actually don't know the origin of how the task force kind of morphed into what it was in terms of representation. I do know that they wanted to take it out of just pure and out of the legislature. And so I think it will be beneficial, obviously, to have, because, these measures are tied to the legislature. And so if you only have legislators being able to voice their opinions, they may come up with policy recommendations that benefit them. Having a broader representation, I think some of the members of the task force have experienced themselves with ballot measures. I think that that's something to consider in terms of the practical nature of some of the decisions that we'll be deciding on. And so, for example, Senator Nessebe most recently did the cap on the payday lending ballot. Ms. Viken, she has some experience, I think, with some ballot measures. And so that'll be helpful to have on the task force. I hope to bring kind of a more academic perspective, shed some light in terms of studies that have been done nationally on states with ballot measures and the impact of different policies and reforms that states have taken over recent times. So I think we're all kind of coming in with our own kind of role that we play and in interests that we're representing. And I think that that will be better than just legislators from peer.
Now, as I understand it, South Dakota is the first state to sort of implement this kind of direct democracy. Is that correct? We were kind of early adopters of, the ballot question?
Sure. So in 1898, South Dakota was the first state to pass a provision allowing voters to put measures on the ballot. We actually weren't the first to use it, but we were the first to allow for it. Oregon was the first to use it.
And has it changed over the years, or are we looking at a process that was really created in the 1800s?
So South Dakota has changed the process twice. In 1972, we allowed for direct initiative measures, which means that voters were able to put it directly on the ballot without having to go through the legislature at all, which was the original way that's called an indirect ballot measure. And then in 1988, we actually repealed the indirect version and only have the direct version now, which is the more frequent of the two ways to get a ballot measure on the ballot across the nation. So it has evolved. Nationally, we're seeing more and more reforms. So historically speaking, there was a wave of states that adopted direct democracy, starting with South Dakota, that kind of correlated with the progressive movement. And then we saw it kind of die off until more recently in the 60s, 70s, and then a real big spike in the 90s. And the states that adopted it much later have a lot stricter requirements to get on the ballot. So those that initially adopted it to kind of represent that direct democracy spirit, the progressive populist movements. Those are the states that tend to have a little bit more lax restrictions and allow for more ballot measures to be placed on ballot.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to In the Moment. Emily Wanless is our guest. She chairs the South Dakota Legislature's Initiative Referendum and Constitutional Amendment Task Force. And remind us again, June 20th, the first meeting has been set, still working on the agenda, possibly in peer. Give us an idea, Emily, where people can follow along and learn about updates and when public input might be available and that meeting minutes and that sort of thing. Where do they find it?
Sure. I believe that all of that is what we know now is currently posted, and what we eventually will decide upon minutes and the meeting information. All of that information is published on the South Dakota Legislature, the Legislative Research Council. So they've got a wonderful staff that's already been instrumental in getting this task force going. And I believe that they have posted all of that information on their website.
And we will follow up. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think it's sclegislature.gov.
Yes. And we'll follow along throughout the process with you, Emily, and with others. What might the outcome be here as far as the influence it could have? Is the task force's role just to provide recommendations? Is the task force's role to gather information? Do you have a goal at this point?
Certainly to gather information. I think that there are a whole host of reforms that are options that we can consider. Most frequently people cite reforms as, if we're looking to limit the number of measures that get on the ballot, let's just raise a signature requirement from, 10% of the votes in the previous governor's election, which is currently what we're at in South Dakota. Let's raise that to 15. Or let's have these geographic requirements where there has to be a certain amount of signatures collected in each county across the state. Those are reforms that are typically thrown out there, but there are a whole host of other reforms that don't require necessarily, you know, more signatures, which is very cumbersome to achieve. But there are some reforms that could happen that could, you know, prior to circulation, we can look at reforms there. There are a number of reforms during the circulation process that we could consider. And then there are also reforms dealing with the implementation of ballot measures. So I think that one of the largest complaints that came out of this last legislative session was the legislature's kind of repealing of IM 22, the initiated measure 22. And so there are a number of ways that states across the country have dealt with the legislature's ability to respond to ballot measures passed through this direct democracy route. And so I think one thing that, you know, the task force will have to consider is what are the motivations that we want to uphold with these initiated measures? Do we want to be on the forefront of a national agenda and allow outside influence? Or, you know, are we looking to preserve kind of this more homegrown South Dakota-based issues? And keeping those motivations in mind, I think, will be helpful in terms of the reforms that we suggest to the legislature upon the conclusion of the task force.
Fascinating stuff. Emily Wanless, you've got your work cut out for you this summer. All kinds of stuff to sort of dig into. Yeah. Emily Wanless is a political scientist. She's a professor at Augustana University, and she's chairing the South Dakota Legislature's task force. It's looking at how we deal with our ballot questions in the state. She'll be back again, I am sure. Emily, thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much, Lori.